ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان إلا من اتبعك من الغاوين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. One of the most important discussions, philosophical and theological discussions within Islam and among the traditions and the schools of thought, is the concept of isma, infallibility. Does that apply to all the prophets, all the imams, all the khulafa, all the sahaba, the companions, or to certain ones? When it comes to this, and I will interpret the meaning of infallibility, I will interpret that soon. Let me say that this concept is very controversial in Islam. You find thinkers and scholars and writers, historians, theologians, who believe that no one is ma'soom, no one is infallible, even the prophets. No one does not commit a sin. So to them, this concept of infallibility is not real. It's a fantasy. It's a fiction. No one is immune against sin, according to this group, first group. There is a second group that says it does exist. Isma, infallibility, it does exist. But it applies only to the prophets and messengers and angels. It does not apply to the khulafa. That's the second opinion. The third opinion, it says it does exist and it applies to the prophets and messengers and apostles and the angels, of course, and also to those who succeed the prophets, not just the prophet of Islam, any prophet. It applies to them because they do the same job as the prophet. So they have to have protection and immunity. The fourth group says it applies to prophets and messengers and khulafa and the entire group of sahaba, all those who were with a prophet. The concept of infallibility applies to them, and they bring a hadith as a proof: لا تجتمع أمتي على خطأ. Of course, this hadith is baseless, completely baseless, because it is senseless. The Aql does not accept this hadith. They attribute this saying to the Prophet that my ummah, my community, not now, not this ummah, the ummah during his time, the entire ummah, men, women, all of them, they would never do something wrong. Everything they do is right. And this is unacceptable because the Sahaba, they were fighting each other. So is fighting good? Is the Prophet trying to tell me that fighting and bloodshed and hypocrisy and backbiting is good? Definitely he doesn't say that. So this hadith is unacceptable. This hadith is one of the big fabrications. Big fabrications. And it deserves the Nobel Prize for fabrications, this hadith. So the Quran speaks about ismah and a protection in many verses, and I will mention them. I will mention a couple of ones. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, the Prophet and his family, the tradition of Ahlul Bayt, we believe that the ismah applies to the prophets of Allah, the messengers, the prophets, and the imams who are appointed by God, but not the khulafa. The khulafa are not appointed by God. It applies to those who have been appointed by God to rule the ummah, to guide the ummah. Where is this? Where can we find this? This is very clear in the heart of this book. In chapter 33, verse 33. Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33. Ayatul Tathir, verse 33. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ To remove from you, of you. To remove, لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسِ Abomination, contamination, and sins. وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا To purify you with absolute and complete purification. وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا Now, what does tathir here means? Does it mean the physical one? That your hand does not get najis? No. Or you don't get a virus. You don't get a germ. You don't get a microbe. No. Allah is not speaking about virus. Because the Prophet, he gets virus and he gets sick. And the Prophet, he was sick several times. All the Imams, they were sick several times. They get cold, you know, they get bronchitis, they get all sorts of microbes and viruses. They are human beings. They function just like us. Allah is speaking about spiritual and moral purification, not physical. Because the Prophet himself, he had to clean himself when he uses the bathroom. He should clean himself. So Allah did not say, Oh Muhammad, don't clean yourself because I already cleaned you physically. No. No, never. Never. Allah meant here spiritual purification. One of the Wahhabi ulama the other day was saying something very disgusting. I don't know whether I should say it here or not. But as an example, the Wahhabis. He said in the book of Abu Dawood, it says one of the Sahaba, he took the urine of the Prophet and he drank the urine and he never got sick throughout his life. Ajib. He drank the urine and he didn't get sick. The Prophet himself, he gets sick. He himself, he gets sick every now and then, and he needs to cure himself. So if someone drinks the urine of the Prophet does not get sick, believe me, this is Wahhabi scholar. And the whole masjid was saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Big victory, mashallah. No, the job of the Prophet is not to give you urine, it's to give you knowledge, it's to give you aql. Is to tell you to follow, respect your brain, your aql, your reason, and when you read this book, open your brain. This is his job. However,
So Allah meant by, what he meant by purification is al-tahara al-ruhiyya, spiritual, moral purification. That those people, those, the people of Ayatul Tathir, they would not go wrong. They would not go wrong. And this is exactly what Sahih Muslim mentioned in his book. He said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Sahih Muslim in volume 7, page 122. Not only in Sahih Muslim, in many other masanid and sunan and jawami' that belongs to the Sunni tradition. حَدِيثُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ لَقَدْ تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَظِلُّ. If you get hold of these two things, the Quran and عِتْرَتِ, كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِ, Sahih Muslim says وَعِتْرَتِ, not sunnati, وَعِتْرَتِ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ. You would not go wrong. If you follow them, they will not take you into the wrong direction. لَن تَظِلُّ, you would not be misguided. This is the meaning of purification. Someone who is purified is the one who does not go into the wrong direction. So if you follow him, he would not mislead you. This is meant. This is what is meant in the Quran. وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. That when you trust this person and you follow his directions, he would not mislead you. He will take you right to your final destination, to your target, to صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, the straight path. So what is Asma, my friend? Because some people say it's difficult for me to digest the concept of infallibility. It's difficult for me to know that someone does not commit a sin. No, it's not difficult. Asma has two parts, two components. One part is found in the person himself, because he reached a stage, a degree of nearness to God, where this relationship with God, this nearness to God, prevents him from breaching this law, breaking this law, violating this law. His loyalty to God reaches a point that he does not breach this relationship. So the seeds of infallibility are in him. In him. Then Allah will bring a second layer. So the first layer is found with the person himself. The second layer is given to him by Allah. Extra protection. Extra protection. Some companies here, they say if you purchase a plan, maintenance plan for 1 year, we'll give you the second year free. To make this concept easy for us to understand. So the first part of Isma, infallibility, is found in the person, in his piety, in his love for God, in his relationship with God, in his fear of God. He does not want to do something to upset God, him. Then God will give him an extra protection. And this extra protection does not forbid him from committing a sin. He can commit a sin, but through his own free will, he does not want to commit a sin. When we say someone is ma'soom, does not mean that he's practically, he's incapable or unable. No, he's able, but he does not want to do that. So it is not forced upon him. He's not coerced to be ma'soom. This is through his free will. And we find the example of this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنْ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. If God, if you don't protect me and turn their kaid and their guile away from me, then I will be inclined towards them, and I will be one of those who are ignorant and forgets about his Lord. But you gave me this power. You blessed me with this spiritual grace to maintain myself and not to be driven towards them. Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Surah An-Nisa,
113:11-3. ولولا فضل الله عليك ورحمته. If it wasn't for the grace of the Lord upon you and His mercy upon you and His protection of you, لهمت طائفة منهم أن يضلوك. Some of those mushrikeen, they almost misguided you. لهمت. They almost succeeded, but they could not succeed because of my grace, because of my protection. If you were an ordinary person without عصمة, definitely they would have succeeded in misleading you. يضلوك. But because you are معصوم, they could not, they failed. لهمت طائفة منهم أن يضلوك وما يضلون إلا أنفسهم وما يضرونك من شيء. They cannot hurt you because you are protected. I have given you this extra layer of protection. عصمة. This عصمة is a free choice. It's a free choice. It's not imposed on them against their will. The Prophet, the messengers, the Imams, they have the free will to commit a sin. But they refrain through their own spiritual nourishment, through their own spiritual maturity and understanding. This is the meaning of the عصمة. Now, do you have some proof in this book about عصمة? Beside آيَةُ التطهير وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Do you have others? Yes. In Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ عِبَادِي, He speaks to the Satan, the Shaytan, إِنَّ عِبَادِي, verily my servants, إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ. Shaytan, who dedicated himself to mislead us, Allah says, listen, you can mislead all, but special a group of people, you can't have sultan, authority, or control over them. You cannot mislead them. Who are those? Any ibad? The 7 billion people we have? No. Those are the ma'sumin, the infallibles, that God wants them to be infallible. He cannot reach out to them. He cannot have control. إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا accept من اتبعك, those who want to follow you, من الغاوين, out of those losers. This is one. The second in Surah Qaf, in Surah Sad, which is chapter 38, ayah number 82. Qala, he's making a vow. Satan is making a vow. He's defying God. He says to him, Qala fabi'izzatika, with your glory, my God, la'ughwiyannahum ajma'in. I am going to mislead the entire community, all your servants. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. Only the chosen one. The chosen one among them, I can't have control. I can't even reach to them because they have this extra protection. And this extra protection is the عصمة. So again, in the school of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and his family, Ahlul Bayt, we believe that the Anbiya, the Prophets, the Messengers, and the Imams that have been appointed by Allah and succeeded the Prophet, they are infallibles. And they have to be, because they are supposed to lead and guide. And if someone is untrustworthy and reliable, he would not be able to lead and guide. He would not be a good role model. It would render him useless. So Allah gives this protection to those leaders, universal leaders. So when you lead them, when you follow them, you put your trust in them. You know they are taking you to the right path. You don't hesitate. You don't start having suspicion about the Prophet. Maybe what the Prophet is saying is wrong. No, you don't have to say that. Because he's ma'soom. He's not wrong. He's always right. You can put his trust in him. And that is a major difference between the true traditions. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we believe that those leaders are protected. Other traditions, other Islamic schools, they say not necessarily for the Khalifa to be infallible. He's a human being. One day he does something good, And one day he could do something bad or wrong. Not necessarily for him to be infallible. We say it is necessary for him, for the Imam, for the rightful caliph of the Prophet, to be infallible. So we can trust him and we can follow him. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصياء نبيك وخلفائه وأهل بيته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. مؤمنين, in a few days the ziyara of Arba'een is going to start, and it has already started. Many people, they march, they walk this journey, this spiritual and moral journey to the shrine of a man who gave everything, everything material and immaterial, to his Lord, to his cause. Some people ask, why Ziyaratul Arba'een is so important in the Shia piety? Why it is almost mandatory? Almost mandatory, not mandatory, but almost mandatory. Listen to what the Imam says, the fifth Imam, Al-Imam Abu Ja'far al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. Man arada an ya'lama annahu min ahli al-jannah falya'rid hubbana ala qalbih. If you want to have a test to see whether you're going to make it to paradise, then offer our love, the love of Ahlul Bayt, to your heart and see what the answer is going to be. فَلْيَعْرِضْ حُبَّنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ فَإِنْ قَبِلَهُ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. If your heart accept our love and our loyalty, then you are a true believer. وَمَنْ كَانَ لَنَا مُحِبًّا. And therefore, if you love Ahlul Bayt, if you claim that you love them, فَلْيَرْغَبْ فِي زِيَارَةِ قَبْرِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. Then you must desire, have the desire and the wish to go and visit the shrine of Imam Hussein. فَمَنْ كَانَ لِلْحُسَيْنِ زَوَّارًا. If a person becomes a visitor, زوار, not just one or twice, a habit, always he loves, even if he cannot go, even if he cannot afford it or cannot make it, but the love is in his heart. فَمَنْ كَانَ لِلْحُسَيْنِ زَوَّارًا عَرَفْنَاهُ بِالْحُبِّ لَنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَكَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If you have this desire in your heart, this is an indication. Of course, بشرطها وشروطها. You have to respect the... Someone cannot say, I don't pray, I don't fast, I don't read the Quran, I don't have... But I love Imam Hussein. No, that does not happen. That does not happen. That person, even if he says, I love Imam Hussein, he doesn't love him. Believe me. This is not a real love. Not a genuine love. A genuine love for Hussein requires true love for Allah, true obedience, true piety, true righteousness, true fear of God. Because this is a package. You cannot differentiate. You cannot separate one from the other. The love for God, the love for the Prophet, the love for the Quran, and definitely the love for Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. This is one package. So if your heart says, I love to go for ziyarah, this is a strong indication that you are one of the people of paradise. Imam al-Sadiq, the sixth Imam, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا قَذَفَ فِي قَلْبِهِ حُبُّ الْحُسَيْنِ وَحُبُّ زِيَارَتِهِ. If God intends goodness for someone, success for someone in this life, if God intends that this person is going to make it to paradise, then he will cast, listen to this, he will cast into his or her heart the love for Hussein and the love to visit the shrine of Hussein. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِ سُوءًا. Wow, such a powerful hadith. And if God says this is a lost case, this person has no U-turn. God sometimes knows, not sometimes, all the times. We don't know, but he knows. He knows who's going to make it and who's not. So if God sometimes looks at someone and he knows that this person has no U-turn, through his own free will, he doesn't want to go back to God, then he will take away from his heart the love for Hussein. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِ سُوءًا قَذَفَ فِي قَلْبِهِ بُغْضُ الْحُسَيْنِ. He will cast in his or her heart the hate for Hussein. وَبُغْضُ زِيَارَتِهِ. And the hate for his ziyarah. Do you know why now some people think ziyarah is innovation, bid'ah? Do you know why some people think ziyarah is shirk? When you listen to this hadith, you would not be surprised. When some people, they equate ziyarah with shirk, that you are worshipping Hussein, not knowing that this is part of Iman. This is your journey to God. Hussein is not taking you into another direction. So why the ziyarah is important? Because the ziyarah, going to his shrine, visiting him, standing before him, greeting him, is the major source of inspiration. Inspiration. We need inspiration. When we stand before Hussein, We remember in this life, principles and values are more important than our narrow interests. We put the principles first. We don't put the interest. Politicians always put their own interest first. He says, my country first. I don't care about other countries. This country first. My family first. My race first. They don't care about others. Imam Hussein, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Anbiya, they don't say I am first. They say humanity first. Those are our brothers and sisters. Even if they are misguided, my duty is not to hate them. It's not to put myself first and put them last. I have to reach out to them. I have to bring them. Because we have the same fate. So they put principles. Imam Hussein, he puts principles. He never said, my country first, my jama'ah first. He never said that. He said all humanity is first. We don't have first and second. People are equal. In the eyes of God, in religions, people are equal. We don't have second class Muslims and first class Muslims and third class Muslims. They are all first class in the eyes of God. We learn from Hussein, alayhi salatu wassalam, that I have to give everything for the sake of justice and truth. Even if it takes my life and my blood, not just my money. To uphold justice and truth, I have to give everything.
I learned from Hussein عليه الصلاة والسلام. I learned from him that even if today people don't care about truth and justice, and the army of falsehood is larger and bigger and stronger, but that would not stay forever. One day, the truth is going to prevail. Because this is what God teaches me in this book. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ Say, truth has come and falsehood is defeated. Why? Because the nature of falsehood is defeat. It cannot survive for long. It might dominate for some times, but not forever. Because it carries within it the seeds of defeat. وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ وَإِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا When I stand before Hussein, I realize that there is a difference between human beings and animals. Animals have no responsibility. Animals, their ultimate desire and goal is to eat, drink, and have somewhere to sleep, and sometimes have physical activities. But we are different. We are not created to eat and drink and party and jump up and down. We have much more bigger goals and higher goals to free ourselves from this bondage, from this slavery, attachment to the dunya. Yeah, because we are not created for this. We are passers by. Ubur, we just pass. We are not here to stay. We are meant for somewhere bigger and everlasting, and that is the akhirah. So we have to sacrifice. We have to struggle. We have to go through pains. We have to go through loss. We have to go through sufferings. I'm not here just to have fun and enjoy and laugh and laughter and parties and then I die. I have a goal and responsibility. This is the difference between humans and animals. I learn from Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. If I want to stay and don't go, I have to sacrifice. If I want to go and be forgotten, I don't give anything. I become only consumer. I become only taker, not giver. This is the difference. These are the values we learn from Imam Hussein. The ziyarah of Imam Hussein teaches me the real meaning of this life. It teaches me why I am here, why God created me. It would not let me to be confused anymore. I can see my way. I can be inspired. I can be encouraged when I go to his ziyarah. I come back different believer in God, different person, a person full of energy and hope to save my community, my society, mankind. This is the effect of the ziyarah, the power of ziyarah. It's not about shirk. Imam Hussein is the biggest muwahhid, is the first muwahhid, is the grandson of the first muwahhid, is the great grandson of the pioneer of Tawheed Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the first person who knew about the martyrdom of Hussein was Ibrahim. When Allah removed the slaying from his son Ismail, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ We sacrificed the Ismail with a major sacrifice. Major sacrifice, God does not speak about a sheep to be major, عظيم, significant. That عظيم, that the significant sacrifice هو الحسين بن علي بن أبي طالب عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ziyarah teaches me to be dignified in this life, not to sell myself cheap, to be dignified, to know and realize my value. These are some of the meanings of the ziyarah. Therefore, why important to go? Because I will be reborn when I go to the ziyarah. I'll be reborn. I'll stand before a person who teaches me that this is the real life. If you want to survive, this is the path. This is why it's important in the Shia piety. And this is why some of the ahadith, it says, if you don't go, if you are able financially, physically, you are able to go and you choose not to go, كان منتقص الإيمان. Your faith is incomplete. your faith is an incomplete. Maybe you pray, you fast, but you don't know why you are doing these things. You don't know. It has no essence, no value, no taste.
But when you go to the ziyarah, Imam Hussein teaches you that I lost my family. I lost my baby who was 6 months old. I lost my oldest son who was 27 years old. And I didn't say, I never said, oh God, you have forsaken me. Why you are doing this to me? I said, if you need more, I said to God, if you need more, I will give more. If it takes to protect this religion and Islam, by giving more, I am willing to give more. This is complete surrenderance to God. This is taslim. Al-Islam huwa taslim. The essence of Islam is to surrender to God. Not just verbally, I say, oh God, I love you, I surrender to you. No, at the time of test, we give. We give. And this is how we are distinguished in the school of Ahlul Bayt. We follow great leaders. Leaders, not who only spoke. Some leaders, they were with the Prophet. At the time of the battle, they are the first runners. They run in a marathon. Every time there is a ghazwa in Islam, we had a big marathon. Half of them, three quarter of them, they run away. Ahlul Bayt, they stood there. They never run away. Ahlul Bayt, they welcomed martyrdom and death. Fi sabilillah. And they learned this. They bequeathed this legacy to their followers. These are the meanings of the ziyarah. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا وشافي مرضانا ووحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد